The Bookmark on WYSO is presented by the Greene County Public Library, with additional support from the Clark County Public Library, Washington Centerville Public Library, Wright Memorial Library, and Dayton Metro Library.
Hello, welcome to the Book Nook on WYSO. I'm Vic McCunis. I'd like to welcome back to the program today Elizabeth Berg. She joins us by telephone from Frosty, Chicago. Hello, Elizabeth.
Hi, Vic.
Elizabeth, you have a new novel out, and I think, having read many of your books, I think this has to be the sweetest book you've written. It's called The Story of Arthur True Love. What a book. How'd you get the idea for this?
You know, first of all, thank you. It is a sweet book, and you know what? It's my favorite of all my books.
Wow.
And I wrote it because I needed some relief from all the chaos and doom and gloom and bad news surrounding us. So I wanted to write just about a different sensibility, you know, kindness and care and hope and compassion and all that stuff that we really need and that seems to be in short supply lately.
So you were so tired of all the fake news, you decided to write a sweet book.
Yeah, all the fake news. Oh, I was actually talking to my partner, Bill, about the news just this morning and wondering. I had a sleepless night, and I had watched a lot of news before I went to bed, and I said, you know, maybe I need to not watch this stuff before I go to sleep anyway. So the book was written as relief from that.
Mm-hmm. Okay, set the scene. Tell our listeners what it's about.
Well, also, to your point, the way it got started, I think you know that I don't ever plot books, but I just see where books take me. I had this image of an old guy in a cemetery sitting on a little fold-up chair eating lunch beside his wife's grave. I saw the back of him and his hat, and I saw the wax paper around his sandwich, and I wanted to know what he was doing there. And follow him. So he developed very quickly as someone who is just utter kindness. And then another character, Maddie, who's a high school girl who's bullied in school and spends a lot of time skipping school. She spends her time in the cemetery. They meet up and become friends. And she was kind of a surprise to me. I didn't know she was going to appear. But those two, as well as Arthur's neighbor, Lucille, who's one of those people who's truly annoying, but you kind of like her anyway, become a family of sorts, and each helps save the other. Each of them has lost something really important to them, and each of them helps the others through that.
Arthur is not getting over his wife. Some people would think it was a little strange that he goes and sits by her grave every single day, and that he imagines, as he looks at the other graves, what the occupants are thinking or what they did, or just, you know, he connects with them. He reads the inscriptions on the gravestones, and he feels the vibe. Some people would think that's kind of weird.
Well, those people haven't read Spoon River Anthology.
Good answer.
Also, I don't think it's that weird. I think a lot of people can't help but wonder. There are certain people who are drawn to cemeteries, and they can't help but wonder who those people were. And reading the inscriptions on headstones is often a really poignant and poetic and revelatory experience. So he's a naturally empathic personality. So for him to be somewhere like a cemetery, it seems only natural to me that he would, in a way, reach out to those other people. Nola's neighbors, so to speak. Nola is his wife.
Well, it's all very sweet and very charming when he looks at the graves and he imagines these people and what they were like. And then we have this young woman, Maddie, who also is attracted to the cemetery. And can we talk about her loss? That's kind of an important part of the story.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, her mother died when she was just a couple of weeks old. Her mother went to a doctor's appointment, left Maddie behind because Maddie had a little cold. She didn't want to take her out, and the father stayed with Maddie. And the mother was killed in a car accident. And the father has never recovered from that. He's an emotionally distant personality, so he's of no help whatsoever in terms of Maddie finding comfort or solace or even wisdom about what all goes on with her in school. So she's really alone in her house with her father, and she's alone at school.
Elizabeth, you are such a keen observer of human nature and the nuances of behavior, and this book is just filled with these wonderful little touches as we observe the viewpoints of these different people, and the neighbor, Lucille in particular. She is hilarious.
Good. I'm glad you found her that way. I found her that way, too.
And she can be annoying.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But
part of her charm.
Yeah. And I think that she's the one that actually has the most heartbreak of anyone in the story.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't want to.
I know.
Yeah. I guess I don't want to give away too much, but I agree with you that that was a tough one, what she had to go through.
And Arthur, his name really isn't True Love, is it?
No, that's a nickname that he's given by Maddie. His name is Arthur Moses, but she is just stunned to hear about this love that goes on and on and on, and it's something that I suppose she longs for and finds hard in some respects to believe, but there it is, borne out in front of her by the character of Arthur True Love. She names him True Love because he has a true love.
And that would be Nola, his wife, who has passed away. She's very much a character in the story, isn't she?
She is, because of his memories of her. She helps to flesh him out, and he helps to flesh her out.
I loved the device of Mr. and Mrs. Hamburger. That is so Elizabeth Berg.
Well, you know, there is a wonderful hot dog place in Chicago called Superdog. Do you know it? Have you been there?
I've been there with you, Elizabeth, and I knew that's where you got it.
That is where I got it. Those figures on top of Superdog, the male and female hot dogs, and I do have a figurine of the hot dogs, Mr. and Mrs. Superdog. And yes, that definitely influenced that image.
The second I read about those figurines, I knew you got those from Superdog.
Yep.
That's such a classic.
You never know what's going to influence your writing, do you?
Really? Well, there's so much nostalgia in a place like that. And there's this book of yours, this True Love, is so nostalgic. There's so much of that in here.
There's a lot of nostalgia, but you know, with regard to Superdog, there's a lot of nostalgia there, and there's a lot of integrity. I don't know if you know the history of that place. You might, if you went there with Bill, my partner Bill, but that guy who started Superdog had an opportunity to buy into McDonald's when it was starting, and he didn't want to have a bunch of franchises. He just wanted to have this one place that he did really, really well, and he's gone now, and his wife has retired, but it's still the same wonderful place, and with consistently wonderful food, and the waitresses who come out to your car. It's a dream that was realized and realized well, and he never he never was swayed by anything else. And I think of Arthur that way, that he has so much integrity that he knows what he wants, and that's what he has.
And he's a pleaser, isn't he? He wants the people around him to be happy, but this creates problems.
Yeah, he has his own internal dialogue sometimes. He may have a couple of snide thoughts every now and then. After all, he couldn't be 100% perfect. But I think he knows as well as anyone that you can't please everyone all the time. But he comes close.
Well, it's fun to read the viewpoints of Arthur and Lucille from their vantage points as being elders, and just the way that they look at the modern world. And at one point, Maddie asks Arthur if he's online. That was really cute. Are you online? And he's like, huh? He kept thinking she said something else.
Yeah, he thinks she means a clothesline.
That's pretty funny. Well, there's a lot of that in here. It's very subtle humor. But it's feel-good humor. It's a kind of book that makes you feel good, which isn't that common these days.
Exactly. And that's, again, going back to your original question, part of the reason I wrote it. I wanted a book not only for myself, but for other people, a kind of place they could go to. And it doesn't shy away from real life. There is tragedy in this book, but it really lands on the side of being a life-affirming book, and I needed that, and I feel like a lot of people need that, and really the response to the book has shown me that people really do need that and responded to it.
You are listening to 91.3 WYSO, giving voice to our community, our nation, and our world. Elizabeth Berg is my guest today, returning to the program to talk about her new novel, The Story of Arthur Truelove. The last time we had you on the show, it was for a very different book. One of the most different books I think you've ever written.
Mm-hmm, definitely. And we'll never write again.
Well,
hard.
Why would you? I mean, that was a tough book.
Yeah, it was. Yeah. In the end, I was proud of it, but it was very difficult to do. And I prefer to let my imagination wander rather than to be held captive by getting historical events accurate and, you know, mm-hmm. What did they wear, what did they eat, what were the bathrooms like, and so on and so on. I think some people love that stuff, but it made me nervous.
Yeah, well,
I did love the character, though.
I think that's a great book.
And I was glad to explore. It's called The Dream Lover. It's about George Sand. And I did feel that I came to a very interesting and full understanding of that character, of that person as I saw her.
I thought it was great.
It was worth doing once.
Yeah. And then in between, I have not read this other project, this other book that you put out. Can you tell us about this other book that you've done?
Sure. You're talking about Make Someone Happy.
Yeah.
I chat a lot on Facebook. This after having said I would never go on Facebook, by the way.
Uh-huh.
But I do a lot of entries on Facebook that are just life observation of playgrounds and nature and certain personalities and descriptions of food and sharing of recipes. And I make my dog talk. And so many people asked me to make a book out of the Facebook postings that finally I decided to do that. So I self-published it, and it really did pretty well, and it does seem to make people happy. And after that book came out, people said, you need to do another one. So I did another one, because I always try to please people like Arthur does, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So I had lost my dog Homer at 14, my golden retriever, and so part of Still Happy is what it's called. Part of Still Happy is the Book of Homer that chronicles how it is that we got him and he was a nightmare when we got him. He was just terrible, but he turned into the best dog. And so there's a lot about his life in that one.
About a half hour ago, I recorded an interview with Robert Kraes, and one of the first things he asked me was, how's Homer? Is Homer okay?
I hope he's okay.
I had to break it to him. He didn't know that Homer was gone.
A lot of people met him.
Yeah.
We should explain to your listeners that my partner Bill is an author escort, and he brought Homer along on a lot of runs when authors were in town. Sometimes authors would come back to the house and walk Homer with Bill, and some of them became very interested in Homer. And there was a case in point.
Well, you live in Oak Park, and I have been on some of those walks with Homer, and I remember that on the corner there's a rather famous house of a rather famous writer, and there's a plaque there in the corner, and Homer would always have his own kind of unique salute to the plaque as he would go around.
Yeah, he peed on Hemingway.
I remember that.
To be done. He's not the only one. A lot of dogs seem to like doing that.
Well, bless his heart. He was a good hound. Are you going to get another dog?
We are thinking about it. Mm-hmm. We thought about fostering Goldens and came very close to doing that, and then decided it would break our hearts to have to give up a dog. Mm-hmm. So we're waiting for this winter to be over because nobody wants to be training a puppy or, you know, outside more than necessary when it's like this. So it's possible in the spring.
Springtime is for puppies. Do you still have Cosette?
No, we have Gracie.
Oh, Gracie. Okay.
Gracie the cat.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well,
we have Gabby the dog and Gracie the cat.
We're animal lovers.
Yes.
Yes.
My
guess is Elizabeth Berg. Her book is The Story of Arthur Truelove. I've had you on the show many times over the years. Some of our listeners maybe are not familiar with you. Can you give us a little snapshot, a pocket biography of who you are and how you became a writer?
Sure. I, like most writers, always loved writing, but I didn't try to get published until my mid-30s when I was a registered nurse, and I wanted to stay home with my children, so I thought I might try writing for magazines. I did that for 10 years, and then I started writing books, and now it's been, gosh, I think I'm up to 28 published books, and starting to think about retirement, whatever that means. But the idea of a hobby farm is awfully appealing to me, where I could have chickens and more dogs and more cats.
A hobby farm?
Yeah.
So you'd have to move out in the country then, wouldn't you?
I know, but I love the idea of living in the country.
Wow. Neat.
Don't you love living in the country?
I live in the country. Yeah, there are some good things about it, and there are some bad things about it. It's like anything. I probably hear as much gunfire as people in the south side of Chicago, where I live.
Oh, geez.
Yeah.
Okay, maybe I'll have a hobby farm in Oak Park.
Yeah, they like their guns out in the country. Right.
And they're
loud.
Yeah, not a fan. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Loud noises. Uh-huh. I don't like loud noises.
Is there another book then? You say you're thinking about retirement. Is there another idea, another thing germinating in your mind that might turn into the next book?
Well, yeah, actually. I mean, I feel like Frank Sinatra on his farewell tour because I say that I'm thinking about retirement, but I did do another book, and I did another book because I liked Arthur Truelove. I liked being in that little fictional town so much, I wrote another book called Night of Miracles, and some of the same characters are there, Maddie and Lucille, but there are new characters. And it, too, is a feel-good book, kind of a more mysterious one, though. Not in the sense of it being a mystery, but I guess I won't say whole lot more than that.
Can we call that?
But if you liked the story of Arthur Truelove, I think you'll like Night of Miracles.
Sounds like they're working on your house. Is that
I just moved.
Someone's banging on the radiator. Get that furnace going.
Somebody needs to come in and work on this house.
Is that Bill making?
No, Bill's out.
He's out. Okay. Well, tell him I appreciate him booking this interview. I didn't even go through your publicist.
Well, you don't have to.
Yeah. Which is good. So when are we going to see this next book? Because I'm excited about reading it. I just love this new one.
I'm so glad. I think that they will probably bring it out around the same time, that being November, but I don't know for sure yet. I am just now finishing the final edits, and then it will go, into the big book machine, and we'll get the cover and all that stuff, and they'll decide what date they want to bring it out.
Well, you certainly got a nice...
It was kind of fun. It was kind of fun having it come out at this time, because when I toured in Boston, all the Christmas decorations were up, and I'm afraid of touring in winter because you never know when there's going to be a storm or flights are canceled and all that. But there was something quite special about coming out near Christmas. So I kind of hope they do it at that time again. But who knows?
Well, you wrote one of my favorite Christmas books.
Oh, The Handmaid and the Carpenter.
I love that book.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah, that is a book that some people reread every year, much to my happiness.
It's a great Christmas story. And I see that Richard Russo gave you one heck of a blurb here. He says, I don't know if I've ever read a more affecting book about the natural affinity between the young and the elderly than Elizabeth Berg's The Story of Arthur Truelove.
Yeah, his quote for... His quote for this novel, that was a happy day, too, I'll tell you. I have such a great deal of respect for him, and I was thrilled that he liked it. And so did Fanny Flagg. That was a real... Did you know it was a Today Show pick, too? It got a lot of nice things.
No, I didn't. I didn't know.
Yeah, they had a Today Show with author Harlan Coben and... Emily Giffen, recommending books for the Christmas season, and Emily recommended Truelove.
Nice.
That was a nice little boost for it.
Well, back in the day when authors like Richard Russo and authors like you used to go out on these big book tours and stop in Dayton, Ohio, and come out to Yellow Springs and do interviews in studio, publishing
Those
was very...
Were the days.
They were very different days, weren't they? What do you see as the publishing landscape these days? What's your view of it?
It all has to come down to people reading and buying books. And so many little bookstores got put out of business, although I'm happy to say that I think there's been a resurgence in independent bookstores opening.
Mm-hmm.
So if the publishers can find a way to make tours make sense, which is to say that they kind of have to pay for themselves. If a publisher sends an author on the road, they have to pay for the flight, for the hotel, for the meals, for the escort. It's a very expensive proposition. So if the author goes out to do a signing and there are four people there, then it's not so good. It doesn't make them eager to send authors out. So the onus is on us to support the arts, support authors at book signings, listen to interviews on the radio with authors, get excited about what's coming out in the world of literature. And I think that would really help sustain and improve things.
Well, Elizabeth, I know from experience that you have a lot of readers in Southwest Ohio.
Well, let's set up a signing. Let's just do it.
That's
that's not really my area, but I hear you're pretty good at it. Didn't you go out and tour for your Facebook book?
We did for those little Facebook books. Bill and I, what I did was send out a message on Facebook and said, if you want us to come, we will. It was kind of a goodwill tour. And in the wake of Homer's death, what we wanted to do was arrange for dogs to be adopted. Mm. So we went around to libraries and did readings, but we asked that the libraries have wonderful refreshments for their patrons, flowers as decoration, and dogs to adopt. And they did it.
Really?
Mm-hmm. The first signing we went to had a whole bunch of greyhounds, and we brought Gabby, and she walked in the room and went, whoa! So all of them had dogs, or I think one time it was information about where you could get dogs from the local shelter. But they brought dogs in for adoption, and I know for sure that one or two got adopted that very day, and I hope that a lot more got adopted later.
What a neat idea.
That was fun. That was really fun to bring Gabby to all this, and then she would run around and say hi to everybody. And
wow. Well, that's good all around then. You're promoting all kinds of good enterprises. The flowers and the food are some of my favorites.
Well, you know, I feel like if one of the things that would compel people to come to an event is if they're well-treated and if they're welcomed. And we all like food, don't we? I mean, it's nice to go and have a little refreshment wherever we're going. Mm-hmm. And as for flowers, I just love flowers. So any excuse I can come up with for having flowers for people, I'll do it.
Well, Elizabeth, we really appreciate you talking to us about your new novel.
Well, I appreciate you for calling and for what you do. Again, really important. Thank you, Vic.
You're welcome. The book is The Story of Arthur Truelove. It's the new one from Elizabeth Berg, and you heard about it on The Book Nook. For The Book Nook, I'm Vic McInnes. Thanks, as always, for tuning in.